Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 6, recorded Monday, March 1st, 2021. Thanks, as always, to partners Cassens & Sons, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East, and also excited to announce new partner, Integrity Spine and Joint Center in Troy, Illinois, Arthur Langston. Our partnership with them includes a weekly question. Right now, this week, we've got the question up there. Who is the best athlete, Metro East athlete, that you ever saw play in person? So give that question some consideration. Give it an answer on any of our social media platforms, and we're going to talk about it on the show next week. And of course, there are three things you can do to help. Number one, subscribe to our podcast. It's 100% free all month. We're running a special, Mark. It's free all month. It's free all the time, folks. Number two, follow us on all of our social media platforms. Find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course on the gram. And finally, if you have a story idea, please email me at mespdave@gmail.com. All right, as usual, the guests make the show here, and we've got three outstanding guests. Our third guest will be Justin Vaughn of McConnell & Associates, the top sport court finishing company in the world. They've been taking care of the courts at EHS forever. They work with that East St. Louis Tennis Association. We talked about them. So we talked about him so much, I thought, why don't we just have Justin Vaughn on here and let him speak for himself? So he's going to be here. Guest number two, Belleville West boys basketball coach Alex Schobert, who's been in that program for almost 10 years. He spent almost his whole life in that program as a player, an assistant coach, and now the head coach. Can't wait to hear from him. But our first guest tonight is my former student, former EHS star and University of Evansville star. Welcome to the show, Mark Thomas.
How's it going, Coach?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I was trying to remember, what was the class? Now, we were out. Do you remember where we were physically?
Out by Hadley House?
In Hadley House. Yep. My classroom, my little classroom was in Hadley House.
Right.
But you were in my class the very first year that I was a teacher at EHS.
Remember it. Yep.
1994.
Now you're dating me.
But now you're back at the high school working as a member of the Hall of Fame selection committee.
I am.
We're going to get back to that in a second, but let's run down your career. You played football, you played basketball at EHS, and then you played football at Evansville.
Correct.
And then you went to Tulane and got your law degree. Then you worked in Chicago for a little bit, and now you're back here working for Gorey.
Absolutely.
Did I include it all?
You summed it up. Yep.
Right except there. except for the three most important things. Your wife owns Vive Yoga.
She does.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, she's co-owner.
Co-owner there at Vive.
Mm-hmm. With Alexis Young.
Yeah. Alexis, love them both. They've worked with our team for years. Fantastic people. Mm-hmm. And then you got two beautiful kids. What are their names?
Sloan and Tice.
Awesome. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. How'd you get started in sports? How old were you when you first started playing sports?
Oh, man. I'd probably say 8 or 9 years old is when I first recall playing YMCA soccer. You know, it was kind of the thing that everyone around here in Edwardsville did, was sign up at the Y and just get out there and play soccer. But my mom wasn't really into the sport thing. For the most part at that time, she was a single parent. So she just signed me up for soccer and take me out there. And, you know, I'd run around, kick the ball and chase the ball. And it was one of those things where not much went into it, but, you know, everybody was doing it. And I had a couple friends out there, Alan White. He was a wrestler at Edwardsville. He's since passed away, but a good friend of mine. And Dwight Woods. His nickname was Chopper.
And you wound up playing basketball with Dwight at EHS.
I did.
He wound up being a good basketball player. I remember him.
Yeah, no, Dwight was a great basketball player and a better person. But yeah, we played soccer together, and he had the nickname Chopper because he'd kick the ball and everybody move out of the way.
So when did you get out of soccer and into football?
Oh, funny story behind that. Actually, I played soccer, like I said, starting around 8 years old, and I got connected with the Cole family. They had a son by the name of Cade Cole that went to Edwardsville. There was a time my parents moved out of the school district, moved up to Wood River, and I was going to an elementary school, and Cade's mom was the principal up there, and she got me involved in soccer, and I started playing travel soccer, and I was on a team with Cade Cole and the older bugger, Chris Peck, a lot of those guys, and, you know, they kind of picked on me and showed me the ropes. And then we were in a indoor soccer season, and my mom bought me some soccer shoes, and I took them to school. And while at school on lunch, I left them in the cafeteria, and they ended up being stolen. And instead of going home and telling my mom that I got my soccer shoes stolen, I said, I think I'm done playing soccer.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Your mom would have been,
it would have been on because my mom didn't make very much money at that time. And she bought me, I remember it like yesterday, a pair of Umbro shorts and Samba Classic soccer shoes for indoor soccer. And they got stolen, and I couldn't go home and tell my mom my shoes got stolen. So I said, you know what? I think I'm going to try basketball. And so when I got into junior high, I tried out for the basketball team, made the basketball team. And then in eighth grade, I went out for football with Coach Evans and Coach Zapanzi and started playing football. So I didn't start playing basketball and football until pretty late, you know,
wow,
seventh, eighth grade.
Were you good right away at football?
I don't know if I was ever good at football, but I was a good athlete. So it kind of translated over.
But you loved all – you played basketball and football all 4 years of high school.
Correct, yeah. And I ran track for 3 years.
Okay.
Under Coach Winston Brown, and I think Coach Doherty became the track coach maybe my junior year.
All right, let's do basketball first. Mm-hmm. You played on some really good teams for a really tough coach.
Really good teams for some really tough and good coaches. You know, my freshman year, Daryl Butler was the coach at Edwardsville. And so I played under Daryl Butler, and Coach Butler taught me a lot and taught me a lot about being tough and work ethic and getting after it. And so I, you know, played under him my freshman year. Sophomore year, I believe it was Coach Becker at the time. And then my junior year, we had Coach Wolk. And then my senior year, it was Coach Waldo for the varsity. So, and I mean, I worked through the program. You know, as a sophomore, we practiced with the varsity. Great coaches all the way around, but you know what? The thing that I remember the most is the great players. I mean, I played at Edwardsville during an era where probably some of the best players to come out of Edwardsville and some of the best teams from Edwardsville were just coming through the ranks. I mean, I remember being in junior high, and, you know, the big thing was I think Richard Keene was the guy down in Collinsville. And, no, you know, we'd try to sneak over to the games and see Jeff Lyles and all those guys. I can remember like yesterday playing against those guys. And it was just a great atmosphere. It was a great time for Edwardsville basketball.
And then you played with some great players, like you mentioned. Who were some of those guys? You mentioned Dwight Woods already, but who else were some of those guys that played with you?
I will tell you, probably the best player that I had seen during my 4 years at Edwardsville was a kid by the name of Craig Whitehead. Craig was probably about a 6'4", 6'5", long, silky smooth swing. Could do it all.
Stacey Vaughn played on those teams too. I think I saw I just saw your picture in the locker room.
Yeah.
So cool. All the old pictures of all the players in there. And I saw you, and I looked at all the guys that were on that team, and it was amazing.
Oh man. And I mean, I'm starting with my sophomore year, and I think about the guys that played when I was a sophomore that were playing varsity. So in 93, that team actually qualified for the state tournament. And back then it was the Elite Eight, went to Champaign, and they played, and that's what we called the state tournament when you made the Elite Eight. And so that team played, and I mean, you had Andrew Thompson, Jeff Bush, Jeff Lyles, Justin Range, probably one of the best athletes I've ever seen. coming out of Edwardsville. And like I said, you know, Craig Whitehead was great. Dwight Woods started as a sophomore on that team. You had Jeff Bush, Aaron Pinnell, Sam Drake, you know, just all around great guys. And it's a lot of the guys that I haven't mentioned remind me a lot of myself, because I think we were all great basketball players, but we came up during a time where some of those guys were so good. You know, you're looking at 3-4 D1 guys on a team where you had the Mike Schwartz, Ramon Jones, Darrell Conner, guys that didn't see much action, but any other year, you know, preceding them or after them, they may have played a bunch. But, you know, you just had so much talent in the program that there were great players. I mean, heck, I remember Schwartz hitting a big shot to win a game as a sophomore, when I was a sophomore, but that senior year to take those guys on. But, you know, Schwartz was just kind of like a rotational player, you know. He was a niche player.
I think you can almost tell great teams by the quality of the people who don't get to play.
Yeah, the depth. Absolutely, the depth.
And best tennis teams I've had, I thought, you know what, man, I've got kids at seven that aren't in the lineup that are really good, like on the best team. So you're describing a situation where you're going like 10 kids deep,
right?
That are stars, potentially maybe another school or even another year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then also, you know, there were years where you saw Joe Blasingham and Jason Hine. I mean, these two guys were just unbelievable. Could play the game, could, you know, get to the basket, could shoot. They were just multi-talented. But it was, you know, they were top-heavy teams. And no disrespect to any of the guys that played with them. It's just that it was like a two-man show out there. And those guys would, you know, come down, pull shots, and just do their thing. And, I mean, I think Jason went on to play at Western Illinois and had a great career there. I think Joe Blaskin maybe went to Austin Peay or something like that and played there. So, you know, that was before I got to high school. And when I got to high school my sophomore year, I got to practice and play with Justin Range, Whitehead, Lyles, and those guys. And then my senior year, here I am, you know, on a team with Chico Brown, probably one of the greatest athletes to ever come out of Edwardsville. Dwight Woods, great athlete, you know, as a senior starter. And
Jimmy.
Well, I was going to get to Jimmy in a second, but Chris Wright. And, you know, interesting thing about Jimmy was here he was a sophomore and I'm a senior coming up. And Coach Waldo had this, you know, this theory that if I got a sophomore that's just as good and if not better than my senior, I'm going to play my sophomore. Well, you know, I fell victim to that. But I couldn't complain. You know, it was one of those things where – you know, I can look at things objectively and I could see this kid's talented. This kid's special. You know, he can shoot. He's unflappable. He can handle the ball. I mean, he's a sophomore, and here we are down at Super Sectionals playing against, I believe it was Centralia, to win the game, to go up to Champaign. Jimmy knocks down a three. And, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. There's a picture in the locker room, and I think he hits the shot. There's still some time on the clock, but the clock finally runs out and we run out on the court. And, you know, I jump in the air to congratulate Jimmy. And I guess there's a picture taken. And a couple weeks later, we're in the locker room and Mark Alaria comes up to me. He's like, man, look how high you're off the ground. And I looked at him. I said, fresh legs. Because I played very little that game. But, you know, thinking about that team, our reserves were Mark Alaria, John Harris, Ryan Jumper, Joe played a little bit, but the freshmen.
Unbelievable.
John Harris and Mark Alaria. I mean,
yeah.
Two Edwardsville greats, you know.
Two Division I guys right there on the team.
Yeah, and those are the freshmen just looking there, sitting there trying to get in.
That's the second time that story's been told on this podcast. I don't get sick of hearing it, and it was great. Tim told the story.
Yeah.
And Tim tells the story about then, you know, they get home at like 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and he peeks in Jimmy's room and he's asleep with the basketball.
Yeah.
So because I said, do you remember that shot? He's like, do I remember it? And he talked about looking at the video and how he's running on the court, you know, when he takes that shot. I think that shot probably was not, that play probably was not designed to go to Jimmy. And that's what was funny about it. So what do you remember about playing for Mike Waldo? What do you remember about what made his teams special?
Preparation. Preparation. I mean, the guy ran practices like no other. He put together scouting reports like no other. I mean, you knew a guy's tendency all the way from the number of dribbles he'd take to the left before he'd pull up. I don't know where he'd get the information from, but he'd know if a guy broke up with his girlfriend the week before. I mean, it was just crazy. You know, we'd be crazy prepared. And it was hours and hours of practices. And you know, it's one thing that I always say, you know, I've traveled since I've left Edwardsville. I played basketball in Indiana, or, you know, in Indiana, they think they know their basketball. When I go down to New Orleans and I've played basketball there, and I go to Chicago and I play basketball there when I live there. And one thing I can say, if you played for Mike Waldo, you knew how to play the game. You had a basketball IQ. Now, and he just seemed like he always did more with less, you know. And I feel like I saw a stat maybe a year or two ago that it was the first time that Edwardsville hadn't won 20 games or something along those lines in like 20 years after Coach Waldo had retired. And you know, I will tell you, and I'll admit it, that I probably contributed to a lot of gray hairs on Coach Waldo and, and Coach Doherty's heads. I might have contributed to Mr. Coach Waldo losing some of his hair. But I was a young, immature kid. They taught me life lessons. They taught me how to be a competitor. They taught me how to compete. And not only did they teach me how to compete, you know, the guys I played with taught me how to compete. You know, the Stephen Nicholsons, the Stacey Vaughns, Chico Browns, Chris Wrights. We're getting after it every day in practice.
Now, we haven't even talked about football yet. We got to shift gears.
I'm sorry, yeah.
You don't have to apologize. So you wondered how your coaches perceived you. Let's shift over to football now and talk about Tim Doherty.
Absolutely.
Talking about the football program. And his quote, I said, hey, I'm having Mark Thomas on the show tonight. His quote, I'm reading to you, quote, love that guy, 3 exclamation points. He got the first weekly Pride Hustle Desire Award in the first summer I started in 1992. Skinny, scrawny sophomore that busted his ass. Love Mark. Exclamation point. How's that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel great. And I mean, that's what I prided myself on. You know, you might be bigger, you might be stronger, you might be faster, but you're not going to outwork me, you know. It was one of those things where we'd run a cross field, and when we got done, I wasn't going to bend over and, you know, clutch my shorts or anything. I was going to stand tall and try to be a leader and try to be somebody that, I don't want to say, you know, not show weakness, because I not to say that weakness is a bad thing, but I just also always wanted to, you know, just stand tall.
And you did.
That's what I tried to do.
And you did. You did in the classroom. I wouldn't ask you to come on here if you know, we wouldn't have the relationship we have. And your football coach noticed, and I'm sure if I got a quote from Waldo, he'd say about the same thing. Yeah. But playing for Tim was a lot like playing for Mike. But a little bit different, but a different sport too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I remember playing for Coach Doherty, and it's interesting because here we are 2021, and, you know, my senior was 1995, and I can relate to these kids because, you know, we had the teacher strike back then. And so we missed games. My first two games, we had to forfeit on the football field. And so we didn't get out on the field to, I think it was our third or fourth game that we actually played, and we had Centralia up here at home. So we're going through 2 days. Coach Doherty calls me in the office, and he says, hey, Stephen Nicholson's looking good. He's a good athlete. And Stephen was a good athlete, one of the, you know, best athletes on the football field at the time.
Winds up playing DB at Eastern, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Great basketball player.
I actually think he played wide receiver at Eastern as well. I think he played both ways. And he said, I don't know. I don't know who's going to get the start nod. You know, it's close. So I got to take that, and that's on my mind all week in practice. We get in the game. We're playing Centralia. I get a couple of nice runs. I think I ended the game, first game of the year, I think I had 2 touchdowns or something like that. Well, I get winded at some point. So I raise my hand to come out. And Coach Doherty, stay in there. I'm like, a week later, I wasn't playing. Now you won't let me come out of the game.
He developed some confidence in you. I think he was a pretty tough coach.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. You know, I wouldn't have been the athlete that I was. I wouldn't be gotten where I've gotten professionally or personally without him. So, you know, we talk every once in a while, and I tell him all the time, like, hey, you know, you pushed me. You brought the best out of me. Yeah. I appreciate it. I know I wasn't easy to get along with, or not that I was insubordinate, but, you know,
you're
I goofed around. I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was a kid.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And then you wind up, you parlay that into a career at Evansville.
Yeah. Yep.
Good experience there for you?
It was a good experience. I mean, I wouldn't send my worst enemy to Evansville, Indiana to live for 4 years, but
I've been there.
I went down there and I played football, and I knew walking in the door, they told me I'd start as a freshman. And so that's all I needed to hear and got out there, got on the field, and, you know, defensive freshman of the year, couple all conference selections. It was a fun environment. It was fun playing the game. It was just a good experience all around.
I don't know much about Evansville football. When people think Evansville, they think of their basketball team and wearing the sleeves and the purple laces and whatnot. But I think it's an okay place. I think it's a good conference.
Yeah. No, it was a solid conference at the time. We were in what's called the Patriot League. And so it was Division I AA non-scholarship at the time. And so you had Dayton, Drake, Valparaiso, USD, University of San Diego, us, and who else was in there? Drake. Butler University in Indianapolis. And I think after I left, Morehead State joined the conference. And so it was some good football. I mean, at the time, you had Butler. I got there my freshman year, and Butler had a kid by the name of Arnold Mickens that was a Division I AA Heisman Trophy candidate.
Wow.
Yeah, he played for the Indianapolis Colts after that. And we ended up getting a kid by the name of Sean Bennett that actually played in the NFL as a wide running back on the team. So it was some good football.
And then you go get your law degree at Tulane.
Oh, absolutely.
Good choice.
Yeah, it was a great choice. I love Tulane.
Le Bon Temps Roule. Isn't that what they say down there? Let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll.
And that was probably a cultural shift for you.
Absolutely. I mean, it was culture shock, but it was a great experience. It was a great life experience getting down there. And I'll tell anybody, you blindfold somebody and you drop them off anywhere in America, you know, New York, L.A., San Francisco, and they'll look around and say, I'm surrounded by tall buildings and a lot of people. Where am I at? You blindfold somebody up and drop them off in New Orleans, they'll know they're in New Orleans. It's a different culture. It's a different way of life. I mean, it was an amazing experience.
That's cool.
Experience.
And then you go to Chicago for a bit, but where do you wind up? You wind up in your hometown.
Yeah.
You wind up back in the Metro East. Beautiful wife, two kids, invested guy in the community, giving back to this community, working with this high school on the Hall of Fame. Why'd you come back to the Metro East? Why'd you come back to Edwardsville?
Home. You know, it was home. I was in Chicago and didn't know anyone, and something my grandfather used to always say, you're a little fish in a big pond up there. And, you know, it was one of those things you got to go experience and see for yourself. And so I went up there, and it was just, I didn't feel the connections. I made friends, don't get me wrong, but I was on a professional level, my life wasn't going in the direction that I thought it should be or where I wanted it to be. So I decided to come back home. And, you know, my third year in law school, during New Year's, I'm walking down Bourbon Street, and I run into, randomly, Tom Pyle, Bill Mudge, and Bradley Beavis. It just so happens that year, Illinois was playing LSU in the Sugar Bowl, and Joe Beavis, Brad's son, was starting linebacker for Illinois. And I see Coach Pyle, and I say, Coach, walk up to him just out of the blue, random on Bourbon Street. He says, what are you doing down here? I'm going to law school, about to graduate. Well, he grabs me, says, when you graduate law school, you give me a call. I'm going to call this guy. And he points to Bill Mudge And he says, I'm going to have him give you a job. I said, okay. You know, that was the end of the conversation. And then here it is 3-4 years later. I'm thinking about coming back to Edwardsville. I call Coach Pyle. I say, hey, Coach, I'm heading back to Edwardsville. I'm looking for a job. He's like, all right, I'll call you back.
Thomas, is Pyle all world? Give me a call back. We'll get it done.
Yep.
Something like that.
Call me back 2 hours later. I got an interview for the state's attorney's office, Bill Mudge. And, you know, back at home, things take off. And here I am.
And here you are. And now you're doing work with Gorey.
Yeah, I work for the Gorey Law Firm. Barry Julian, late Randy Gorey, gave me an opportunity. I took advantage of it, and now the firm's run by Beth Gorey and Sarah Salger, the managing partner. Great people, great organization. It's a great company to work for. It's a profession. As a lawyer, the area that we work in, it's very, very you feel like you're doing good. You feel like you're helping people. And I mean, I know there's two sides to every coin and everybody has their own perspective on anything, on everything. But, you know, the way I looked at it was it's a very fulfilling job. You know, I leave the job knowing that I've helped someone or I've helped their family or something along those lines. There's something positive. I've made a positive impact on a lot of individuals. So it's been a great ride. I mean, I've been there for 12 years, and hopefully I'll be there for 12 more.
Last question. Mm-hmm. How did that experience playing football, playing basketball, growing up playing sports, playing for Waldo, playing for Doherty, how does that help you in a court of law today, doing the work you're doing?
Sure. Well, as far as a court of law is concerned, I'm not in court very often. I manage a team, supervise a team, and, you know, I work more with clients. But at the same time, you know, it's wanting to be the best. I mean, I want to be the best. I don't want anybody to outwork me at anything. So I'm constantly working. I'm constantly striving to do the best for my clients. And you know, that's what it's all about. Just, you know, wanting to be the best, wanting to take advantage of your situation and do what you can for the most people possible. So that's what I do.
Well said. Mark Thomas, former Metro East athletic star, former University of Evansville athletic star, current litigious star. Can you say that? Former star in the community.
Partner at Gorey Law Firm.
That's not as tough as being a dad, though, is it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Didn't know what you were in for with that one, did you?
No, it's a losing battle.
Well, keep up the good work, and I'll see you on the selection committee, and looking forward to working with you on that. And thanks so much, Mark.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Coach.
Big thanks to Mark Thomas for coming by today. And thanks to partners Cassens & Sons, the number one place to purchase a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, check out Cassens inventory in person, where they've been for 25 years, or online at Cassens.com. Cassens has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives back and forth to IU in a Jeep, and my wife and I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassens is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today and tell them we sent you. And now we're up to guest number 2 on the podcast tonight. We've got joining us the head coach from the boys basketball team at Belleville West. Welcome to the show, Coach Alex Schobert.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Great for having you, especially from one English teacher to another. I appreciate how hard you have to work during the day and how many papers you have to grade, and then for you to take time out after practice to do this with us tonight, I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, no problem. And yeah, I definitely understand that. There's always something to be done when you're teaching English. So,
what classes are you teaching right now, Coach?
So I teach just all junior level, which for us is American Lit based, and 3 sections of the traditional English 5-6 class is what we call it, and then 2 sections of the honors class. So I'm American Lit all day, pretty much.
You're working hard then, because I teach American Lit myself, and between all the ACT prep and the essays,
yes.
and you do, and you probably do a research paper also with that. And you know, I think people that tuned in to want to hear sports probably don't want to hear us talk about in-text citations, even though we could probably do it all night.
Right? No, you're probably right about that.
But you played at Belleville West, and you averaged about 10 points a game your last couple years, and then you played for the Knox Prairie Fire. And then you came right back to Belleville West, where you were an assistant coach and a freshman coach for about 7 years, and then you took over as head coach just a couple years ago. I mean, you pretty much have been around the program for as long as you can remember.
Yes, yes, no doubt. I grew up in Belleville born and raised, and that's what I said when I first was lucky enough to take this job as the head coach a couple years ago. You know, I'm a Maroon through and through, and just so excited to have the opportunity to help out kids that come from, you know, a lot, pretty much the same background I did growing up. So,
you were an assistant coach at least on some amazing teams, some of the best teams that have ever played basketball in the Metro East.
Yes, yes. And that, I mean, that experience, those 2 years, I was our JV coach during those 2 years when we won back-to-back state titles, and to see what that did for our community and the way it brought people together, and just to be around that level of talent, and also to see the type of preparation that goes into a season like that cannot be, you know, replicated, of course.
And I know that you're your own person, and nobody likes to talk about the last coach, but I know that you learned a lot from Coach Muniz. What did you learn in particular about being a head coach?
I did. You know, Coach Muniz has really could not ask for a better mentor out of him. I played for him my 4 years at West, and then assisted for him, like you said, for 7 years. And just, I mean, you talk about a guy who showed me the work ethic it takes to succeed at the highest level. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind is the amount of preparation that goes into this job. And cannot say enough about that. And then the passion he approached the game with, and how he always got the best out of his players, I felt. No matter if we had those two great teams that won state titles, or, you know, teams earlier in his career, like, you know, I'll be honest, when I was a junior or sophomore in high school, our teams were not very good in terms of our record, but he got the best out of his players and always made sure they competed at the highest level possible. And you knew Belleville West was going to play as hard as they possibly could and guard you defensively. And that's something I've tried to adapt with our program here as I've transitioned into that role.
Because he did. He won, and his team scrapped. And like you said, his reputation was, he did have a reputation for getting the most out of the teams year in and year out. Is this your dream job? When you were playing at West, did you think, man, one day I want to come back and I want to be a coach here?
I do. You know, I said that when I first got the job, that it is my dream job. And I do believe that because, you know, I had so many great, you talk about Coach Muniz, but just overall, so many great teachers here at Belleville West when I was a student athlete myself. And I, you know, they inspired me to go to that route of education, and that thankfully I was able to pursue that route. And, you know, yeah, it definitely is. It's a dream being in this position now.
How cool is that? Your high school teachers inspired you to become a high school teacher and a coach at your old high school. Who were some of those teachers? Let's hear some names.
Off the top of my head, well, I have to say John Lodel, who's my department chair now in English. Just the relevance he brought to the classroom. And my senior year, I had AP English with him and taught me a lot. And he was one that jumps out to me, but I could go down the list and name a ton of different people. But I think the biggest thing when it comes to coaching and education, you know, I really believe to be a great coach, you have to be a great teacher as well. And you're preparing these guys for what they're going to see at the next level, whether that be college, or going into the workforce. And, you know, thankfully I had teachers that did that for me, and I'm just trying to do the same thing now.
That's cool. Let's talk about your team this year. You're 6-3. You're competitive with the best teams in the area. How would you rate your team's progress at this point?
I think, you know, we've had a couple setbacks with the three losses, but, you know, we keep getting better each week, and that's our goal ultimately in this shortened season, was to just – I think we all understand the reality of the situation and realize that it's going to be difficult to prepare necessarily in the same manner you did last year. Like I think of this week in particular, we've got four games this week and two practices. And our goal all along has just been to compete at the highest level possible and to take it day by day and get better every day. And I think our kids have really bought into that. You know, we just wrapped up film here. We're going to play East St. Louis tomorrow night. And I thought we had a great practice today. And that's the goal, is to be playing the best basketball possible down the stretch here as we head into this conference tournament next week.
And I tell you what, from my vantage point, it looks like it's wide open. Because you're right there with Belleville East, which is arguably, well, probably not arguably, the best team in the area. We had Coach Creek on last week.
Right.
And they're undefeated. But they beat you in overtime, and they beat Edwardsville on a somewhat miracle half-court shot. So Belleville East is the best team in the area right now. They've beaten everybody, but they're not, they're not head and shoulders above everybody else. I think it's wide open. Do you agree?
I do think, especially, like I said, in a year like this where you don't know what's going to happen from night to night, I do think in our conference from top to bottom every year is as competitive as you'll find in the state, I would say. And obviously, like you mentioned, Coach Creek does a great job over there at Belleville East, and Coach Battis at Edwardsville, and you can go down the line. I mean, there's so many great coaching staffs in our conference that you better be prepared to bring it every night, and I agree. I think this conference tournament is going to be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be a lot of fun, too. And some people have wondered, well, maybe they should do this every year. And the thing is, you're already going to play Edwardsville and East twice a year during the regular season. You possibly will see them at tournaments during the regular season. And then if you want to see them another time, that could be your fourth or potentially fifth time. So I think this year it makes sense. Moving in the future, I don't know that coaches are really going to want to do it. I can see where it's going to be fun for fans, but I think if we get the other big tournaments back, I think that may take the place of it somewhat.
Right. And we see, you know, in our tournaments, even like in mid-January, we go over to Belleville East for their tournament, and that's always great. But at this point, you talk about that tournament, there's a ton of conference schools in that too now. The Collinsville Holiday Tournament, I know, has a lot of conference competition, and a couple of us still go down to Centralia. So we see each other a lot throughout the season. I think you're right.
And then your regional and your sectional wind up being, or especially your regional winds up being two conference teams anyway, and pretty much the entire entire regional winds up being two conference teams. But you've got a lot of talent this year. Newsom, J.P. Patterson, Ty Lampley, among others. These guys are really leaving it all on the court for you this year.
Yeah, definitely. We have a great group of guys this year that we actually have eight seniors on our roster. And a lot of them got great experience last season. And, you know, that being my first year coming off the back-to-back state championships, I didn't really know, you know, what things were going to look like. I knew, like I said, we were going to try to get the best out of our players and compete as hard as possible, especially on the defensive end. But we had a lot of guys. Like, we had Tommy Williams coming back, who was a sixth man as a sophomore on the second state championship team. But other than that, like a lot of the guys we just mentioned, they were JV basketball players, freshman, sophomore basketball players the year before. They never really had varsity level experience. And credit to them, they stepped up. They competed every night last year. We ended up winning 16 games. And then, you know, to turn around this year, and unfortunately everything that's happened with the pandemic limited their season, but now they're getting that chance to get out there, and they're doing a great job for us.
Yeah, and I know that you're relieved that these kids are finally getting to play, and you're finally getting some tape on these kids to send out to these schools, because potentially with eight seniors, I got to think at least some of these guys want to keep playing.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got you mentioned a couple guys there. You know, Tommy Williams, JP Patterson, Ty Lampley, DJ Newsom, guys that we think can play at the next level, that have suffered a bit from the lack of recruiting, the lack of a full summer season. So we're just trying our best to reach out to coaches. I talked to a number of coaches today. I try to do that each day, to just try and get these guys opportunities at the next level.
So if you're a college coach or you know a college coach, tell them to contact Alex Schobert at Belleville West. He's got some guys. He's got some guys that are ready to contribute in the fall. Yeah. In the fall of 2021, right?
Right, right.
For sure. And okay, so I was reading your bio on the Prairie Fire website, and it says your favorite thing about Knox was Flunk Day. And you sound like a really smart guy, so I'm surprised to hear that you were excited about something called Flunk Day. What's Flunk Day?
Flunk Day is an annual celebration at Knox where you never know when it's happening, but they cancel classes for the day. And you're right, as a guy, I don't know, probably not the best thing to celebrate looking back, but you're a different person in college. So they would call off classes for the day suddenly in the morning, you'd find out. And it was like a carnival type thing that they put on at the school where they had a ton of games. We had like a softball tournament, I think. Just a day off to kick back and relax. So
I tell you what, I thought it was going to be something kind of dumb, but that sounds pretty cool. Honestly, that sounds like it would be good for the camaraderie on the campus.
Right. No, it's definitely a tradition. A lot of people look forward to every year up there. I know.
I bet you my buddy John Betts, who went to Knox College, had a good time with that as well. Okay, so I'm not going to let you go before I ask you. Give me three books as an English teacher. Give me three books that every person needs to read.
Oh, gosh.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
Don't say the Scarlet Letter, please.
No. Well, I guess I got to start with The Great Gatsby because it's fresh in my mind. We just wrapped up doing that in almost all my classes. And I just think, you know, a reflection on the American experience and the American dream. I think you got to have that in there. I'm also going to throw it. I don't know. Personally, I read a lot of nonfiction now. So one of my favorites is Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
I've read it.
Kind of how he, dispels the notion of the American dream, maybe. I don't know how I would word that, but there's a lot that goes into success in this country that I think we don't think about so much. Other than that, I don't know.
Those are two pretty good ones right there. I'll let you off the hook with that. How about that?
Okay.
Alex, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know that you're busy. You got East St. Louis, like you said, tomorrow night, and you got papers to grade and all that kind of stuff. But Coach Schobert, I definitely appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck the rest of the year.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me, and thanks for promoting all these kids and high school sports in the area. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Coach. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Coach Schobert, Belleville West Boys Basketball, for coming on the show. And folks, Andy Callaway of Callaway Home Loans saves me money every month now and will save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are incredibly low, and you want to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional, FHA, and VA loans. And ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he will donate $100 to the Metro East High School or Junior High team or general athletic fund of your choice. If you love Belleville West basketball and you love Coach Schobert, who we just had on the show, refinance with Andy and he will give $100 to the Maroons Boys Basketball Program. Or you love Cahokia Cheer or East Alton Wood River Golf or Alton Cross Country. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. Refinance, and the money goes to the team or the fund of your choice, the general athletic fund of your choice in the Metro East. Give Andy a call today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East. And now for our third and final guest of the evening, we've got Justin Vaughn of McConnell & Associates. Thanks for coming by, Justin.
Thanks, Dave. Nice. Thanks for having me.
And let's talk about McConnell first. What does McConnell & Associates do?
We are a sports contractor here in St. Louis. We build and maintain all the tennis courts around the St. Louis area. Actually, all over the state, in fact. We do work over Missouri, Columbia. We've done work in Iowa, as far north as Peoria. far south is Cape Girardeau. So we've got a pretty large geographic area.
And you've been working with me. You've been working with the EHS tennis courts, EHS tennis facilities for 15 years or so, right?
I'd like
is that,
to say
a little bit,
long.
Is that a little bit long?
That's a little long.
10
that's
years?
Long. Yeah, I think you and I started about 5 or 6 years ago working together.
It just seems like 15.
Seems like that long. Yeah.
Okay, for a long time, you've been maintaining the courts at the high school.
Yes.
And you've done an awesome job there.
Thank you. Thank you. We're happy to help.
And you patch the courts, you resurface the courts, but tennis courts aren't the only surface on which you work, right? You do other kinds of work too.
Correct, correct. We also do work on parking lots and basically any pavement maintenance type application, you know, we get our hands on.
Let's talk about your sports background, because you're a tennis guy now.
I am. Recent.
You've become a tennis guy.
I have.
But you didn't start out as a tennis guy.
I did not. I actually didn't pick up a tennis racket until about 3 years ago.
And you were a kickboxer.
Close. I'm not that limber.
You were an ultimate player.
Ultimate frisbee, yes.
Because you can't say, I'm not going to say that you were the ultimate player, but you played ultimate.
Far from it, but yes.
Now, I thought we couldn't say ultimate frisbee because Hasbro owned the term frisbee and you can't call it ultimate frisbee. I thought you had to call it ultimate. Am I wrong?
I believe it is just ultimate now. I think they did hash that out quite some time
in
ago.
In the legal, yeah. Yeah. So you wind up saying, yeah, we play ultimate. So did you play ultimate in college?
I did, yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to Carbondale. Southern Illinois in Carbondale.
And so you played, like, they had an ultimate club there, and you guys would travel around, play other schools?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
fun.
It was. It was great. We the team was actually resurrected. I wasn't part of the group that resurrected it. However, back in the 90s, I believe, it was a pretty successful team. They actually went to nationals. That group of that generation of players actually – moved on, and it kind of got kicked to the wayside. My group of friends actually kind of resurrected it, and then brought it back together. We started as like a 7-man team, and then slowly got up to where we had enough players to have a 2 squads, and then wow. They actually started a girls team as well.
I think it's one of the most underrated sports out there. I think it looks like fun. I haven't played it. It looks fun. It looks healthy. It looks like a good time.
It is. It is. It's a great sport, and I actually still play over the summer. There's summer leagues here in St. Louis that they have different skill levels, so anybody of any skill level can go and enjoy the sport.
Okay, so how can folks get a hold of you if they need help with their athletic surface from McConnell? Give us a phone number where we can reach you.
They can reach us at our office number. That's 314-962-1920.
And I will attest, he's been taking care of my courts there for a long time at EHS, keeping them nice for the community, in great shape for the teams, and in good enough shape that we are able to host some of the best players in the world come to Edwardsville, play on our surface, and they love it.
I've seen it.
And they love coming to the Edwardsville Futures partly because of our surface. That's one of the reasons. It's not at the top of the list. They love coming to our tournament because they're treated like royalty. But players always love our surface, and I always give you credit for that. And it's you guys do fantastic work. And I know that you worked with the East St. Louis Tennis Community Association on their project. Yes. What was your involvement there?
They came to us asking for help to rebuild their courts. They were in pretty bad shape. Actually, they were in absolutely terrible shape. Not gonna lie, you couldn't even hardly walk across it without tripping over the dirt and debris that was on the surface. So they came to us and asked us to aid them and in their process. They had already started the process by the time I came on board. With their grant submittals and stuff like that, but you know they brought me on board as kind of the construction professional to help them actually move the project forward and break ground.
Because they brought you up by name, and that's what made me think I got to have that guy on the show, get him to talk about his tennis court resurfacing. So what all did you have to do there? You didn't pull up the asphalt, did you?
We did not. We actually just overlaid the court with a post-tension concrete slab, installed a new fence, new black vinyl fence, new net post equipment, a color surface, striping. Actually put some youth lines on there as well for their tennis lessons, and had a great time doing it. The community was great over there, very accepting to have us there. Actually helped out. They had a great celebration after the project was done. And to this day, I still see their Facebook posts of their community and what they're doing now to keep that process moving forward.
Darian Banks, Joe Lewis, and Kimberly Hughes were the three reps who came on. Darian's the head pro there.
Yeah.
But they're so excited about what's going on there tennis-wise. And right, they should be. When you look at the courts before and after, because I saw some before and after pictures, it's a beautiful, beautiful little park now and a great opportunity for kids and adults to play the game there. And that's a big deal. So that's a good thing you did. So congrats to you on that. So you've done Edwardsville courts. You've done East St. Louis courts, Belleville East courts, Alton courts. Who else locally?
Name it. We've probably been there. Numerous courts all across St. Louis. So the Rockwood School District, Hazelwood School District, Dwight Davis Tennis Center, Belle Reve Country Club. We've named the size of facility. We've probably done some work there. But we also do a lot of residentials as well. That is a pretty big part of it as well. There's a lot. Part of the tennis community does have a lot of at-home players, and especially during this time, you know, that kind of drove a lot of that business as well. So we're happy to help out any of the residentials along there for their tennis courts.
I bet you've been to some amazing houses, some amazing homes. I mean, with tennis courts.
You know, it does. Give you some opportunity to meet a lot of new people. Actually today, just so happens that I met a guy who in his younger years played with Arthur Ashe.
Wow.
And Jimmy Connors. They grew up together. They played together at the Armory. I spent probably an hour listening to him talk, and it was fantastic.
Those stories are amazing. I've heard a lot of those stories too, and they really are incredible. Arthur's time when he lived with Dr. Hudlin,
yep,
in St. Louis and playing at the Armory, like you said, and the many, many good players who played there on that wooden tennis surface. And I know that Jimmy and Arthur both talked about how the speed of that surface made them help shape their game. Jimmy was known for his return to serve and his fast hands and his quick, concise strokes, partly because of playing on that wood surface. Mm-hmm. Obviously, his mom taught him his strokes, and that was his number one influence on how he played his game. But that wooden surface allegedly had a huge impact on him. So who should contact you? Anybody who's got courts where they've got cracks that are coming up, or they may want to resurface, and you'll come out and give them a bid, and you'll give them the best price. And I tell you what, there are people out there fixing tennis courts that have no business fixing tennis courts. I've seen a lot of really terrible tennis court repairs, and it's, you can't do it. If you're going to fix a crack, you got to use that fabric system that you told me about.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So it's a fabric system to help span a crack. It just, it lowers the maintenance that you have on the courts. As you know, we've got it over there at Edwardsville. It's a great system to install. It's more of a premium system, but it does work. It keeps those cracks at bay, and so that you're not having to maintain them every other year.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And what we've done, our strategy is, you don't wait till the cracks are pervasive and all over the place, and you got to spend $20,000. You got to take care of them yearly. You got to invest some money yearly. You taught me that, and it was good advice, and we've kept our courts in really good shape. Like I said, good enough that we can host some of the best players in the world. Okay, let's talk about some more good news. McConnell and Associates, always looking to give back, introduced several years ago, I remember when you first had the idea of a tennis scholarships. Talk about these scholarships, which are available right now.
Yeah, I remember kind of bringing it up to you and getting your feedback from it, and you said go for it, So we did, and part of it is McConnell, or tennis has been a big part of McConnell since the 70s. you know, the family McConnell, and then even myself, I come from a background of tennis installers. I'm not a McConnell myself. However, you know, my family does do servicing in other parts of the country. So it's always been a big part of my life, and up until recently, I hadn't even picked up a tennis racket, which is strange. But once I did, I fell in love with it, fell in love with the community, and I wanted to kind of come up with an idea to give back. And when I brought it to management at McConnell, you know, Rob and Scott, you know, they thought it was a great idea, told me to move forward with it. We did. Now we've not only do it in St. Louis, but we also do it in Kansas City as well, where our other office is.
And you guys are giving out how much in scholarships to local tennis players who are headed off to college next year?
Yeah, it is $1,000, one to a boy, one to a girl, and it's at each metro area. So we're actually giving out $4,000.
Okay, that's awesome. And I know that there was a young lady, I believe her last name was Hallwalks, who won it from O'Fallon, and Drake Schreiber from Edwardsville High School won it a couple years ago. And just so everybody knows that I had nothing to do with that. I wasn't on the committee or anything. You actually were the person who told me, "Hey, we're going to give the scholarship to one of your kids," and I was elated. So that I appreciated that, and Drake certainly deserves that scholarship. He's a fantastic kid playing at Guilford out on the East Coast. So that's a good thing. Okay, so how can folks find out more about this scholarship? Where can they get more information?
Well, they can go onto our website, also our Facebook page, McConnell at St. Louis. I can post that on Facebook. Once you post the show, I can throw out some links to our scholarship page.
And that's McConnell, McConnell.
Correct.
McConnell's not easy to spell. I'm an English teacher, and there's probably 10 ways to spell McConnell. You get all those double C's. I'll tell you what, two C's, two N's, two L's.
There you go.
That's a good way of remembering it.
Yes, sir.
And we'll post a link on our social media, too, for scholarship information. We want some Metro East kids to get those scholarships. And these are four kids who played tennis in high school and who may or may not play tennis in college. So don't think that you're not eligible for the scholarship just because you're not playing in college, because you are eligible for that scholarship, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the scholarship information.
Absolutely.
And thanks for coming by today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. This was fun.
It's sure almost as fun as resurfacing tennis courts.
You know, I would probably pick this over that, you know, on a 95 degree day, but you know, it's all in good fun.
Justin Vaughn, McConnell and Associates. Check out his scholarship today, folks. Big thanks to Justin Vaughn, McConnell and Associates, for coming by today. And folks, if you are looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or the Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blassingame, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blassingames are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they are experts at staging and pricing, and they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blassingame a call at 618-578-9276. Or check them out online at blassinggamegroup.com. I promise, folks, you will not be disappointed. And that wraps up our show for tonight. As always, the guests make the show. The big thanks to Mark Thomas, Alex Schobert, and Justin Vaughn. And for partners, Callaway Home Loans, Cassens & Sons, Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blassingame. Our producers, Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks. And our intern, at Zoogie J. Thank you for listening to the Metro East Sports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro East.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.